Probably. Oh, are we live?
Yeah.
We're live.
Oh, hi!
Hi!
Hello, world! Welcome to The Geek Life here at thegeeklife.tv. Once again, we are here every other week to talk about video releases, tech, comics, geek news, and commentary.
We'll fix that in post.
Yeah, right. Discussing all things geek, nothing is off limits, represent. I'm Fess, and joining me on my show, apparently, no, I'm just kidding. I am graciously joining Paul.
Hello.
And Mike.
Hello.
And that's all we have for this week. We have two people down for the count.
We have Melissa and Richard.
Yeah, Melissa and Richard and Paul. Okay,
I'm here.
I can't do numbers. So anyway, this is episode 227, recording for the week of May 25th, 2014. Hey, there we go. You can follow us on Twitter as we live record these shows using the hashtag TheGeekLifeTV. And so, we're just going to roll right on into it before I screw things up more. We don't have video releases this week because Melissa is down for the count right now. But we did see Godzilla!
Aww.
Hey, Godzilla.
While everyone would probably like to know what Melissa wanted, what thought about the movie Godzilla, actually, Melissa and I recorded a vlog with our friend Lewis, who is Linkara from Atop the Fourth Wall, and there's about an hour vlog of talking about the new Godzilla movie. Cool. First impressions in the first several minutes, and then we go into spoiler territory. But I'll just cut to the chase. It was pretty awesome. It was pretty sweet. I know a lot of people complain about not enough Godzilla, but when you get right down to it, when you look at like the old Japanese movies, I mean, there's plenty of not monsters and plenty of scientists telling people to do stuff and to not do stuff, and the military and this and that. So overall, it feels like it hits a lot of marks for a good Godzilla movie, and I just say definitely you want to, if you even kind of like Godzilla, go see this in the theater. It is great. The pacing is well done. You don't feel like you're going too far. You don't feel like you're going too far in without getting something monster related or you know, suspense, you know, in that regard, and you got some fairly decent smart characters. I recommend seeing this movie even if you just like Godzilla, so definitely in the theater.
Now see, you were mentioning that there are people saying, oh, there's not enough Godzilla. I've actually seen one or two reviews where they're saying there's too much Godzilla, as in he's too fat.
Yes, the Japanese actually think he's too fat.
Well, apparently they made him much, much bigger. Yeah. Like, vertically, also bigger. And because...
Don't fat shame Godzilla.
Yeah,
all right. Don't fat shame the kaiju.
Actually, somebody else who gave it a good review, because this is humorous considering who he is. Fessworks opened something up on us, and I'm like, wow.
How do I... What did I do?
You opened Capture Smile. I'm going to... I think I can close on my end.
There we go.
Sorry. So anyhow, there's this guy named Brad Warner, who I encountered books-wise from a friend of mine. Brad Warner is a guy who used to be in a punk band in the 80s called Zero Defects, then moved to Japan and worked on the Dynaman show, then became a Zen priest... currently is still doing being a Zen priest. That's his profession currently. And his review of Godzilla, because he's a major Godzilla fan to the point of when he was local one time and was doing a talk at one of the local Zen centers, he opened up with, "Who wants to talk about Godzilla?" It's like, and I wish I could have been there. It's like, I do! But he thought it was an awesome movie in that, yeah, you don't get to see Godzilla right away, but he thought it was like the right amount of dosage for Kaiju, you know, how to do the reveal and all that. So he was pretty positive on it, too. And he's an uber Kaiju fan, so. But I like the addition that, you know, a Zen priest is essentially approving Godzilla. So.
That's sweet. Yeah, that should definitely be our title of the week. Don't fat shame the Kaiju. No, it's like, I heard they made him much taller because the idea was, and I think Melissa brought this up, I'm not sure, but, you know, in 54, we didn't have the tall skyscrapers that we do now. So how do you make Godzilla just as intimidating without having the city still sort of dwarf the monster? You make the monster bigger.
Yep. That makes sense.
And, I probably shouldn't say anymore because we're probably going to do spoilers and whatever.
It's a Godzilla film. Monsters beat each other up and somebody dies. Yeah, it's...
Well, I'm sure lots of people die. But yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes for the full-on vlog if you'd like to argue the point. And that's, I guess... Oh, we have a little bit more for video and film. The original Sailor Moon anime is getting redubbed for the English audience.
Why?
Because the fans are demanding it. Also, there's an anniversary coming up, and there's going to be a new Sailor Moon anime being created. And so fans are, you know, geeking out about it. And also, the redub is going to keep everything the way it's supposed to be. So I'm pretty sure Sabrina's not going to be called Sabrina, and she's going to be called Usagi. And also, there are no more kissing cousins. They are actually a lesbian couple, as supposed to be.
Good.
So, that's pretty sweet for the fans there. And I think they're also going to be doing some streaming stuff with that as well, not just DVDs and things like that. So it's quite an investment to basically redub 200 episodes.
Yep. That's a pretty major show. I had some friends who were big fans of it. That was their gripe, was the kind of bringing it to the U.S. as they changed certain elements. That's like, come on.
Yeah, they kind of chopped it up a fair amount.
Yeah.
Other sort of comics, video related. I don't know if you want to talk about TV. Walking Dead, bigger than football. Mostly talking about the television series, but
right. But U.S. football or European football?
Well, American football.
Okay. Okay. Hand egg. I got it.
Yeah, because they're comparing it to NBC's Sunday Night Football, and apparently it's 0.6 million viewers difference.
Small, but still they're getting a larger audience, which is humorous, because football is supposed to be a pretty decent franchise, so.
I've heard about it. It's pretty decent.
I am from Wisconsin. I can't not know of it. It's a state religion. All hail the Packers.
I like part of the article saying, and this is coming from The Wire, and because they're talking about, like, you know, people with real buying power. So the 18 to 19 demographic here, so they're not really, advertisers don't care about old people and children. The Walking Dead wins this, and it goes on to say, imagine that, we now have a new emblem of Americanness.
Zombies!
Apparently. They're not going away anytime soon.
Zombie football. The ratings will be through the roof.
If you can get them to go the right direction.
You know what? They need
to... some brains on the field.
No, they need to do that for the Super Bowl halftime show. There you go. It's perfect.
Zombie football.
Yeah.
The Puppy Bowl goes horribly awry. Sorry.
Quick note in comics, if we just jump to comics, DC is hiring. I was kind of hoping to get Melissa's opinion on some of this, but they're hiring in multiple areas except editing, which is where a lot of the problems actually are.
So who needs editing?
But let's see, community manager, franchise management, vice president of development... executive assistant,
project management.
Project manager, but of course they still have to answer to the two people up top, which are sort of screwing things up. Oh, look, publicity, because somebody doesn't want to deal with that anymore.
Nope, not my ballot. Okay.
So I'm going to take a break from speaking for a while, so I don't know which one of you... I hope one of you put this in here.
Which one?
And not the Man of Steel's... Man of Steel sequel writer David Goyer calls Marvel's She-Hulk a giant green porn star.
Oh, that was probably me. yeah. David Goyer is not really liked at the moment. He was on a podcast. It got taken down when the Fuhrer started hitting, though I think you can find copies of it hither and yon. Basically,
was it on the internet? You can find copies.
Somewhere. Exactly. Basically, it's a... they were asking questions about different superheroes, and we get to David Goyer, the person running it kind of set it up by already saying it, disparaging things about She-Hulk, and then Goyer just ran with the ball and basically claims that the purpose of She-Hulk was that it's a male sex fantasy, so people can imagine the Hulk fucking somebody. That was the only purpose of her, is just so you'd have big, green, beautiful babe that you could project onto.
Never mind the fact that she's his cousin.
Yes. Don't get me started. I mean, that's the first thing I hear from anybody who knows She-Hulk. Is like, he doesn't know they're cousins. And then he proceeded to go on after that. I mean, that was bad enough, because it was like, okay, come on, dude. You obviously don't know anything about the character, the comic book, the history of the comic book. You know, we're talking about a character who, she gets the partial Hulk powers, she can't change back, but she's still a fucking lawyer.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's a lawyer, isn't she?
Yeah, she's incredibly smart. She has actually a rather empowered, positive role model. And you're just saying she's fuck money. Okay, thank you. Thank you for just not understanding your things you're allegedly writing about. Now, to add salt to that wound, in the same podcast, he talks about, because this guy might do JLA and or everything else, he says, raise your hands if you ever heard about Martian Manhunter. And some people in the physical audience do that. It's like, now raise your hands if you've gotten laid. Yes.
Stan Lee says...
Oh, yeah, Stan Lee.
Stan Lee smash!
Yeah. So basically, with Martian Manhunter, he said, Martian Manhunter's never been rebooted. No, he's not a really great character, and basically, I'd have to go back to the link and read through it, but basically, he starts bashing Martian Manhunter, ignoring what, like, the animated series has done with him, what some of the comic books has done with him, basically having no sense of history of either character. And it's like, and you're running parts of the DC universe. Oh, boy. So yeah, Stan Lee did have a response to this, and it was a pithy, basically, you're an idiot. Some people are wondering if Sandman will now get taken away, because he was on deck to help do Sandman 2, and once Neil hears any of this, Neil will probably weigh in and say, I'm taking my contract and going home. Huh. And basically just general is like, how... kind of off, you know, Fess's thing from 2 weeks ago about DC digging their grave. DC is further digging the grave on the media front with this guy, because it's like, really? And how are you going to handle this property well, you know? So.
I'm glad I don't care about comic books, really. Not the mainstream, Marvel right. or DC. I'm glad I just don't have a stake in that race. I had enough with the Nintendo versus Sony and Microsoft, and it's like, I don't care anymore. I got Steam, you know, I have independent comics and webcomics I read, you know, I can get my entertainment elsewhere, as far as comic books go, comics.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. But yeah, it's just, for those who are into it, who care about the movie universe, it's just... doesn't provide a lot of hope on the DC side. You know, Marvel's having their fun at the moment, but we'll see what happens. So,
you know, I kind of want Marvel just to go, like, I want Marvel to have, like, an open letter to DC and goes, would you like us to make a Wonder Woman movie for you? Just because, you know, I want...
You have
Joss
Whedon, who you passed up?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like I just let Marvel Studios handle your stuff. I mean, clearly you don't know what you're doing, Warner Brothers in DC.
Right. What gets me is, I don't know if this was somebody I was talking to or where I read this. Somebody's doing the analysis of, is part of the problem that the people behind Marvel, whether it's the main Marvel Studios, the guys to some extent doing X-Men, etc. Marvel is a fundamentally different universe than DC in that all our characters are rooted in a degree of, I don't want to say reality per se, but it's they have a commonality with normal humans. You know, the X-Men are mutants, but they're trying to get by. The Avengers have their powers, but yet they're rooted in other ways into kind of things with normal human issues. DC's different. DC's the Demigods on Earth universe, and so you have to approach it differently, write it differently, look at it differently, and it seems like nobody on the DC side when it comes to the movies is getting that. You know, the animated series, I think, did a good job of getting it and working with it.
Marvel did a pretty good job with the Demigod on Earth.
Well,
with Thor and... Oh, look, it got a sequel, Thor 2. You can't tell me you can't make a Wonder Woman comic.
Yeah, but the original Thor is a normal guy, don't forget, who finds the cane that turns into Mjolnir and... Getting that.
Well, no, we're going with... It's movie continuity.
I know, movie. Yeah. Well, true, but they still try to humanize Thor 2. I mean, it's just... By the Demigod on Earth, it's more the people who recognize that they are more powerful than thou sort of thing. Where Thor doesn't, in my sense, doesn't tend to do that because of the whole I'm tasked to protect Earth. But it's just more the trying to genericize what's the difference between the two universes. And I just think it's like DC, you have a fundamental different way to write it. I don't think the movie guys have quite gone it yet. So let's see what they do when we have whatever they're calling it now, Superman versus Batman. And how that goes.
Yeah, the Dawn of Justice, yeah.
I wonder what that means.
Let's just try and shoehorn the Justice League.
You know, it sounds like the only thing that is doing well with live action with DC are the television series.
Yes, those are going great.
So where's the disconnect? It just...
Different groups inside the company running the things.
Probably the television guys going, don't come near us. we have our cash cow, go away.
Yeah.
Say, I got an unrelated question. Is it cool if I use the Geek Life Twitter to retweet cool sciencey things?
Yeah.
All right. I just retweeted what star trails from the ISS look like.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
From, looks like, from at Learn Something.
They're straight.
And well, even look at the Earth, too. Even look at the Earth, the lights on the Earth, too.
Oh, there is a slight curve there. Okay. Cool.
All right. I'm gonna elect to move on from...
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Rant.
So last time on the Geek Life, we talked about how Amazon.com bought Comixology, and then Amazon.com took out in-app purchases from Comixology app because they don't want to give Google or Apple anything. But it also seems, I found this on Comic Book Resources, it seems that comic publishers that have their apps, quote-unquote, powered by Comixology, meaning they're like IDW or Boom Studios or whatever, like anyone that has Comixology, any distributor that has comics on Comixology, and they use the whole Comixology system as their own individual app, most of them are still keeping in-app purchases available. So it seems like it's mainly just the regular Comixology app, just that app itself, which took out in-app purchases. Though I'm pretty sure they have a redirect to go to a website on your smartphone and da-da-da, but... so that's just a little update on that.
So we haven't ripped the code out. We're not that petty, but...
It's Amazon.com, isn't it? And... this sort of just happened, so.
Yep. Well, the same is true if you do movies via Amazon Prime. You can't do in-app purchases of your movies. You have to go out to Amazon and do it. So it's all pretty understandable.
I mean, I don't have a big problem with that. Again, I don't think that Apple or Google deserve 30% of a sale. that they don't have to deal with at all, except if some kilobytes of code sending a signal to not their servers for something. But, you know, that's me. And I'm...
Oh, I have a dovetail to that, but yeah.
Oh, go ahead, dovetail. I'm done reading.
Well, I have a similar gripe when it comes to Xbox Live, that for the longest time you have to purchase Xbox Live to use your Netflix on the Xbox. Mm. Things like that. Starting June 1st, that all goes away. Xbox Live subscription will no longer be required to access things like YouTube, Netflix, etc. Microsoft is no longer making that a requirement. So.
Well, good.
So no more double dipping.
Yeah, because they shouldn't have to.
It's the same. I just said dovetail because it's a similar critique that I agree with you. You're getting 30% for really not doing anything. Yeah, you're providing the servers to host, but this is in-app content. You're not really providing any extra to it, so why do you get 30%? That was my same gripe with Xbox Live. I'm paying Netflix. Why do I have to pay Microsoft to get to my Netflix that I'm paying for?
Right, yeah.
So it's similar, but there Microsoft's going, you know what, we don't need the money. Yeah. Because we are Microsoft, we are owning tons of crap. So.
Yeah, they haven't needed the money for a while.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean that they don't want it.
Well, wait till the Surface. So, next.
I'm sorry, I seem to put so many things. Did you guys put anything on here?
I put a peek.
I put a peek in an article. I didn't have time to do a lot of research. I've been a little bit busy looking for a job, so.
Oh, well, good luck with that. I mean, I didn't mean that sounds sarcastic, but actually.
No, that's fine.
Okay. All right, moving on to tech.
Don't worry, I can rant on this one.
Fukushima approved to use an ice wall. An underground ice wall will be used to keep radioactive materials and water from seeping into local water supplies.
To translate this into English, TEPCO, the nuclear company that runs everything in Japan, is trying to pull another miracle out of their ass and will utterly fail. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Because ice isn't going to melt.
Well, no, they have to keep it cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're going to refrigerate the ground.
Yeah, they're going to refrigerate the ground. This is the company that built Fukushima. And one of the reasons Fukushima spectacularly went the way it did is because one of the pipes that would have carried water into the plant was not rated, because it was viewed as low enough low enough importance, it got rated for a different level of earthquake than the rest of the stuff at the plant, like the main power plant.
Well, also they had their generators above ground, of which got washed away once the tsunami hit. But
right, that I can't forgive them, because when you lower the coast by a meter, the tsunami is going to take you out. But they also did things like there's an overflow. It's referred to as the snout or the nose. They did an interview with the guys at Three Mile Island who have the same, it's a backup plan. They're like, yeah, if this thing's going, you hear it for miles around. TEPCO had not prepped any of their plant people on how this backup system worked for over 20 years. So they saw little puffs of steam coming out of the nose, and they thought it was working. And they talked to the guys at Three Mile Island, like, no, it's going to be roaring steam, you're going to hear it for miles. They don't know what the F they were doing.
Did I mention last time that Melissa and I, we went to go see my parents? My dad has worked at the Monticello power plant.
Yep.
And we got a tour of the facilities, and cool. They're telling us about all the different backup systems and things like that. It's like, even here in Minnesota, regulation states they need to prepare for the 100-year flood or whatever.
Yep.
In Minnesota, just in that area. But.
The civilian opinion, I watched some vloggers in Japan, mainly because they were doing running shows, and the civilian opinion by them is TEPCO is one giant group of yahoos who do not know what they're doing. So this is an amazing thing, you know, freezing the earth. It's a neat idea, neat technology. I just don't see TEPCO carrying it out.
It's like, I don't know. Well, then again, with, you know, the West Arctic ice sheet melting at the point of no return, and water levels are going to rise. It's like, well, Lake Superior's right there. How far in is Minnesota going to get flooded? Or actually changed in you know.
And yeah, no clue, because the only online model I saw that only dealt with coastal cities. I'm like, thank you, I live in your Great Lakes, you know. It's...
Yeah.
Well, like on that, I don't know where to find a link for that, but it's like on the. Did you see how high the oceanic ocean is going to rise? Like, how many feet and how long?
They were saying 10 feet.
Yeah, that's a little too much.
10 feet and 10 feet and how long?
Oh, it's. What I hear, it's something like 500 years or something.
More than enough time so we can have fish tar happen, right?
Yeah.
500 feet in 500 years.
For those who don't know, 10 feet in 500 years.
10 feet in about 500 years. So if I break that down,
but don't worry. Oh, I shouldn't bring politics into this. I gotta stop. Let's say something bad. The Department of Defense cannot prepare for climate change has been a bill introduced in Congress.
So about 1/4 of a foot per
year. There, that was my politics.
Okay. 1/4 of a foot per year. That's still...
It's about 3 inches a year.
Yeah, but that also is... It's not just the coastal. I mean, you're going to screw up.
That's significant, though, because you're talking a three-inch average over a lot of land. And that's...
Yeah. And that also is going to... You have to take into consideration how much... not salt water being pumped into the ocean is going to affect climate.
Yeah.
We already have possible shutting down of the Gulf Stream, so meh. Picky, picky.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Give it a little while.
We'll see if I die before then. Let's see. Google and Nest consider drop cam happiness for move to home security. So a little background. Nest was like the home thermostat thing where you can like sort of adjust it like on your phone or something like that. Was that true?
Well, yes. What Nest can actually do is it will start learning habits like when people are around, things like that. So it'll start to adjust itself for temperature and stuff based on when it realizes your schedule is.
So it's sort of like almost organic in the way that it sort of learns how.
Yeah. You initially start doing the adjustments and stuff like that, but eventually it will actually start learning your patterns and you know when people are home and things like that, and start adjusting itself.
Like Pandora for your thermostat.
Sort of.
Kind of.
Less random.
Yeah. Well, yesterday you liked 65 degrees. How about 66?
Yep, so yeah, buying the security camera system.
Yes.
It's, Google, we need more data on you.
Well, okay, well, it's not just that, I'm sure. But, okay, so I used to work for Comcast, and they don't
still
really...
like you.
Yeah, they don't really care about their customers. They really, really don't. They just want more and more of your money and blah, 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 blah. But one of the things that Comcast is trying to do is get into the home security market. And, of course, they got a thermostat thingy. They got cameras and such like that. Though it's not like an actual real home security thing where you can constant record your data. And it's all not like live monitor or something like that. Though you have access to monitor it live yourself or set something up to record a few seconds after some movement happens on one of the cameras. So there's some variety in there right now. So Google and Nest have bought this Dropcam company, which is apparently actually a real decent and desirable sort of... basically, it's a webcam that has a Bluetooth connection in it, and you can kind of like... I think you can also... They're like, some of them are battery powered too or something like that, so you can kind of place them anywhere.
Yep.
And it's, I don't know how much of a secret it is or if how regional, some people don't know this, but Google has been starting to make their own fiber optic network.
Yep.
Basically to compete with Comcast and other, you know, cable networks.
I'd love it to come here.
We all would.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Google's underselling what the actual, you know, the speed and everything like that, but I'm also told, no, I've also been told, no, I don't know, I don't know if I signed an agreement on this or not, but Comcast can change their internet speeds at any time. They can, I don't remember the exact number, but they can up their, like, the current cable that comes to your house in most areas, they can flip the switch and make it go up to the amount that Google's offering right now and more.
Yeah, in fact, Austin, I was watching another podcast, and Austin or whoever, I think it was Austin where Google is going in next, AT&T supplies the outlying areas and immediately flipped their switch and said, hey, we can offer similar service in the competition.
Aren't they DSL, though? Because they're regulated to how much speed you can have going over the phone.
I think they're running fiber though down there.
Oh,
basically AT&T immediately started competing, but with the suburbs where Google wasn't going, and they're going to try to soak up the cash that way.
Right.
But still, it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, if Google came in, Comcast can immediately try to compete. No, the interesting thing with the Dropcam, if I'm getting the name right because memory is short, is it isn't just this little Bluetooth thing. It's networked, and it's networked to the cloud, and you can buy service to store 7 days or forget if it's up to 30 days of motion picture up on their servers. And the way you interact with it online is you go through their servers. So you're not directly actually talking to your Dropcam when you're setting it up and everything. You're actually going through a service out on the internet that's talking to the Dropcam, if my memory is correct. So one of the things that some people kind of a little worried about this is, well, if I'm going to store any of the data off the Dropcam, it's getting stored up in the cloud, and now Google has access to that. How do they target ads now? Because one of the other things that came out last week was that Google said, basically, I don't remember if they were talking to the FCC or who, but said, well, yeah, of course we're going to look at ads on these home devices so your Nest could start selling you stuff, or my personal favorite, the Nest smoke detector could go off in Gilbert Gottfried's voice telling you to get out of the house and go to Subway and get a 12-inch.
Man, you know what? I could deal with that. I want a Gilbert Gottfried smoke detector
your
alarm.
House is on fire. Go to Subway and get a hot one. Yeah, that's...
Hey, get up! Your house is on fire! That's my best impression. I can't really do it.
Actually, the best is Gilbert Gottfried reading 50 Shades of Grey, but we won't get into that. And that is out there. They got him to do parts of it. But yeah, so there's the... It's an interesting purchase. What will they do with it? It makes sense, given that they bought Nest, but if they get the data from it...
I think they're trying to go full on competitive, and they don't need to worry about phone because they got, you know, Google Voice, which is over their system. And
oh no, I could just see it though. Oh, that would be nice. So Google gets like face recognition in as well, because, you know, from like the Plus and that. So if they look it up and if they have a Google account with their face on it, it'd be great, because if someone's breaking in, you can start getting messages on their phone. We notice you're stealing a Samsung TV. Would you look at
it? Dude.
It's Clippy gone entirely evil. Looking at text messages. Why am I
vibrating? You know, Best Buy has these on sale. Don't be a jerk.
Actually, I've been...
What, the homeowner then gets window replacement ads suddenly? I'm not going to tell you your house is being broken into, but you really want to go to Home Depot right now. It's future crime gone wrong.
So, do you remember what Luke's aunt and uncle, what their job was, what their industry was?
They were moisture farmers.
Moisture farmers! We have moisture farmers!
Water from the air.
Found this on the NPR website, an invention designed to collect water from the air for places that are hard to get water.
Is that the billboards that do that?
No, it's... I think what's here is a sample image if you follow the link.
Yeah.
I think that's fake, but it gives a look of what it's actually sort of designed like. It gathers water from fog and condensation. So,
oh, cool.
It looks like it has like all like these sort of. It looks kind of like a wicker vase almost with like like a bag inside or something like that.
Yeah. Yep. So they're kind of doing what's been done for centuries, but making it more efficient. Because the Romans would actually like do a pit and put rocks over it and try to collect water that way.
Hmm.
But obviously not terribly efficient. You just do it because your troops in the field. But yeah, that looks neat.
I'd see the one company that was putting up billboards with sort of that technology in it, where it would collect the water and stuff from the air and basically have, you know, as part of the billboard on, you know, just basically a thing explaining that, you know, to people that they can get free water from, you know, the thing at the bottom of the billboards. And it was actually good for some of the villages that they were around because they did not have access to water all that much. So.
So we deploy these in California.
Yeah.
All right.
Neat. And solar roadways.
Yeah.
They got their million.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. That's something we could talk about that's not on the thing. Let me add that.
Solar effing roadways, to quote the one cast on. Did you hear about this, Mike?
Yes.
Okay, clear your throat.
Yeah, what was it they were saying? If they put, how much is it? It's like if they put so much roadways on there, they would actually be able to power most of the country and have extra.
Yep. Yeah, and for people who don't know what we're talking about, a couple engineers, married couple, basically came up with this idea of hexagonal plates, fairly large, and it's a plastic that they've designed. They figured out it will be durable enough that you can drive on it, and then
it's glass.
Oh, it's glass. Okay,
it's a tempered glass.
Okay, so it should be durable enough to drive on. Put solar panels under it, and you basically make your road out of this. So your road is constantly generating solar power, and then they've came up with the design for how to make sure it channels off to the side, so you have like data and energy cables on one side or the other. Also embedding LEDs into it so you can then have actually an active display happen so you can show, actually have your lines for your road light up, show different lane issues if a lane issue comes up, and basically have this kind of interactive roadway, but all solar powered and would generate enough power, as Mike indicated, that, you know, you could basically help local municipalities that you install it in. Debates about is how durable it is. It looks like their initial tests, they've gotten it pretty decently durable. I'm kind of a little more iffy because it's like until you drive a snowplow across that thing.
Yeah, I'm high. Melissa and I are both highly skeptical about any northern states. It's like,
yeah,
it's like all the stuff. It's like is they have like built-in like heating elements in it that are supposed to help melt it. But
yep.
Yeah, that's not going to do anything for when we have a blizzard and we get 6 inches in an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Or like the ice storm we got late winter this time that put about an inch of ice on the roads overnight that basically everybody's told stay home, you can't drive.
Yeah.
It'll work, it'll help out, but only to a certain extent. Yeah, I see this being more successful in more arid states and states where you don't have a harsh winter. But who knows? I mean, I would see in Minnesota, I would also test it like limited deployment just to help out in some areas it might be worthwhile.
Yeah, use the test road we have. I mean, it'd be a perfect area to actually test it out. But don't start it in the northern states. I mean, it's like we're not going to get that much light up here anyway. And us, with the winters we have, it's just way too much a gamble to even try it here.
Yeah. Plus, but the way we clear snow, we leave some on the ground at times. So.
And as of this recording, they do have an Indiegogo, and they were asking for a $1 million goal to help supplement a grant they got to help develop it farther. They almost have $1.5 million now, 4 days left to go as of this. So I don't know if I'll get this podcast out in time if you hear this and would like to go get a bumper sticker for your contributing or something like that. But
yeah, so I wish them success. I think it's a great idea, and I hope it works. But like I said, for being in a northern state, I'm a little more doubtful, but that's just because we have some unique conditions that could make it harder. So,
yeah,
it'd be fun.
Oh, as an aside, because I just thought about it, the Tesla Museum.
Yes.
So Matt Inman put out a 2 comics. The first one talking about how awesome his Tesla is, which is just wonderful to read. And then the second one is sort of a note to Elon Musk. Basically saying, you know, this isn't, you know, it's like, I'm not trying to hit you up, or I'm not trying to, like, you know, force you into this or anything like that, but we were wondering, since, you know, we were able to save the Tesla Museum, but we need, in order to, like, fix it up with, like, all the buildings with the asbestos in them and things like that, we need about $8 million to fix it up. And you don't owe us anything, you don't, you know, anything like that. I was just wondering, would you be able to kick that in? And, like, apparently less than a day later, on Twitter, Elon Musk comes back and says, I would be happy to help.
It was cool.
So, numbers haven't actually been mentioned or anything, but the rumor is he kicked in the entire $8 million. Because... one point, Inman came. Well, yeah, he can, and at one point, Inman actually talked about it and said he was over the fucking moon about this. So, we were just talking about solar power and stuff. So it's like, yeah, that reminds me of that one.
Now they can have their museum. Yay!
Speaking of museums.
Godzilla Vlog. Oh, okay, sorry. So I say Godzilla Vlog Museum? What? Oh, no, that's what you're typing in. Okay.
No, I had to make a new section for this called Not Science.
Oh, yes.
Creationists have a new Allosaurus skeleton that, quote, died in the Great Flood.
Well, of course it did. It must be obvious. There's water in the lungs, right?
Well, it's like... Okay, so we...
They counted the number of tree rings it had. Sorry.
Well, no, yeah, they did. They do. The guy who does whatever, does the carbon dating for it, he starts with the idea that the universe, the Earth is only 6,000 years old. And then did the carbon dating back something. Not wait, science.
I was about to say, okay, so I'm going to do carbon dating based on a priori information. And say, well, I don't care what the carbon dating says, because I know it can only go back this far, therefore I'm going to create a whole new scale for carbon dating.
Yep, that's what it sounds like.
That has nothing to do with reality, or that whole episode about lead on Cosmos not too long ago. Yeah.
He goes, part of my process of investigation is to say, okay, is there some angle that I haven't yet understood about this evidence, that if I look at it slightly differently... that it will resolve that kind of conflict. So not like
try
not
science.
Like, yeah, not like doing any sort of other experiments or tests. Just sort of looking at it differently, you know.
It's like a chocolate shake, only different. Okay.
It's just, you know, it boggles the mind.
Oh, boggles. This is why we're exposing the girls to Cosmos and Connections. They're not totally into it. They like it to an extent. They like more action in their stuff, basically. But at least it's getting into their heads somewhat. So it's like, no. So we're going to count the tree rings on the Allosaurus to determine if it was alive during the flood.
Well, they found it in a place that which they claim was consistent with areas that were affected with the Great Flood and... that's their reason, not mine.
How do you even tell if it's an area affected by the Great... Well, wasn't the whole Earth technically affected by the Great Flood?
Well, yeah.
Are we talking Gilgamesh's version or somebody else's?
Oh, no. Let's not go into the explanations there.
Oh, that's right. Those are false religions.
Yeah.
So...
That and Cosmos already did, so...
Yeah, that's where I'm grabbing it from. Yeah. I don't get young Earth creationists. There are old Earth creationists out there. They tend to be the more intelligent design sorts of folks, where they're willing to talk about evolution, but then they gain this weird thing about microevolution versus macroevolution and how macroevolution doesn't work, but at least their arguments are more convoluted and interesting. Young Earth, it's just...
It's just distressing. It's... well, that's all...
Well, and to me it's always confusing because as somebody who grew up Roman Catholic, parochial schooling, nuns teaching me, I had a nun for biology freshman year of high school, and she taught evolution. She said, this is how God did it. That's not the perfect thing because it's if you're an atheist, yeah, but she basically said, science is not wrong. This is just the rules. You know?
There was a judge somewhere that basically said that atheism is a religion, therefore you cannot teach evolution in school. Because it would be presenting a religious viewpoint. I read that somewhere. I don't know where it was, but the brain, it hurts.
I'm going to go grab my book of cosmos and go rock back and forth tonight while hugging it. Maybe James Burke's connections, too. That's always a fun one. That really affected my thinking as a Ute. Everything comes down to coal tar.
It's... Okay. Peaks! Peaks! Let's get to the peaks. Mike?
Oh, okay. So, stumbled upon a website. It's a Tumblr blog. They're just kind of starting out. They don't have a whole lot there, but it's called Everyday Tyson. And it's obviously a humor site, but you know the tagline underneath is because every word the man has ever uttered must be quoted.
Jeez.
So. You know, and it's just got, you know, stuff, normal everyday stuff. And of course, with the, after every quote, it's got, you know, the attribution for Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Are these real quotes, or are these just, like, sort of made up? No, they have to be made up.
Well, you know, the thing is, some of it is, you have to think, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Neil deGrasse Tyson never said, did you ever play Lemmings? I had it on Amiga. I fucking loved that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really trying to be difficult. Either play sounds fine, but I'm starving, so just make a decision, please.
I'd say I prefer yogurt-covered raisins to chocolate-covered raisins, personally. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah. Do they have his pickup line in there about differential calculus?
No.
There was somebody who threw out there on Tumblr the random... Neil deGrasse Tyson saying, I'll be your differential calculus, baby, because I'm hard and I'll keep you up all night.
But yeah, you are at the completely wrong end of the mall. I hope they keep up with it. Because it's just funny.
Oh, dear. That's up there with somebody got Morgan Freeman to use helium on YouTube.
Oh, yep.
Yep.
I'd say solid white albacore, but chunk light will probably work.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, just a little bit of humor.
All right.
Mine's an odd one. Red Bull does these videos. In this case, it's a mountain cyclist who does a lot of trick riding, the balancing on one wheel, hopping from one thing to another, possibly long distances, that sort of thing. But this one's filmed really neatly. So besides this guy's really great skill at riding his bike around these obstacles, they're doing it in a village that I'm going to murder the name, Epecuen, E-P-E-C-U-E with an accent ague over the E, then an N. It's down in the... in Brazil. Basically what happened to this town is back in the 80s, they had some torrential rain, and the entire thing got put underwater for several years. And then somewhere in the late 90s, it finally drained away, but nobody moved back there. So you have these really weird-looking ruins because this place had been underwater for a while. And so they filmed this in HD, this guy doing trick riding through it. But it's just neat footage to look at the city and kind of how it's in ruins and such. It's just a nice little put together 10-minute film. So
sweet. But I like seeing abandoned things.
And... yeah, that's what makes it neat. It's like, okay, you got this guy doing trick riding, but also the goal of the guy directing and doing the photography is to show off the place this guy is in, too. And I think he does a good job with it. So that's mine.
Sweet. I was going to peek the Godzilla vlog, but I figured that counts technically enough for link in video and film, since Melissa's not here, of course. So my peek is going to be How to Kickstart a Comic by Spike, who you can get this at ironcircus.com. Excuse me.
Sorry, my first thought was, number one, learn to draw.
Well, there's a lot of information in there that just is sort of good for, like, if you're presenting any sort of creative thing on Kickstarter. And this comes from our own personal experiences, watching people utterly failing at doing their Kickstarters. It's a $5 PDF ebook that's essentially sort of like a comic book that tells you how to properly do a Kickstarter. So.
Tempting.
And apparently, I just saw a tweet of hers, which is what made me think about it. So she's seen that she's averaging about 20 sales a day on it.
Nice.
So I'm really happy for her. She's earned quite a lot of her cred. So, and with that, I think that's all for this week.
That's all I got.
So. That is all for this week as for the Geek Life here at thegeeklife.tv. Join us in a couple of weeks when we do a live broadcast. Once again, you can check that out at you can follow us on Google+ at the Geek Life Podcast, of which we can those hangouts will also be posted on our Twitter at thegeeklifetv, Facebook The Geek Life. You can also, if you have any questions or comments for the crew, you can email us at for stories@thegeeklife.tv or talk back at us at talkback@thegeeklife.tv or just comment on the show's blog post. You can also leave a voicemail at 1-612-567-6515. If you have a Google Voice account, you can call that with... or Skype or something like that. There's many ways to call if you don't have a landline or if you don't if you live outside of the country. Or you can just visit us at thegeeklife.tv on the web. I've been Fess with... Wait, how do you sign out?
This is Paul. This is Mike later.
Hélène, du Zepoir. We have show notes. We have dead air. We don't have a tweet. Vess, where's the tweet?
It's tweeted. It's twet.
Without a hashtag.
I hashtagged the shit out of that.
Oh, there it is. The Geek Life TV hashtag. No, kind of the show's hashtag.
All right, hang on 1 second.
Welcome to the Geek Life, where we give Vess a hard time.